Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Oh, oh, oh. Yeah, mama, you nailed it.
Yeah.
Great job. Hey, everybody, welcome to another awesome, amazing episode of the Fried Pod. Happy Friday, everybody. I am your host, John Reap, and my co-host today is...
Betty Reap.
That's Bobaba. And by overwhelming popular demand, she's back. Oh, Mom, everybody loved your last episode.
Oh, that's sweet.
They think you're the sweetest. I said, if there's anything good about me, it come from her side.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, Dad's hilarious. He's a good guy. I'm not talking bad about Dad. So, we, based on your popularity, decided to come up with a new segment for you, and it's called Ask Betty. This is where I need some jingle music, like jingle, like to introduce the do-do-do-do-do, Ask Betty.
Ask on.
Yeah, maybe somebody listening to this, if you're good with making jingles, you know, I mean, like if you're good with that kind of, maybe you're a music producer, you know, I don't know what you guys do for a living. But maybe one of you do that. So maybe you could come up with some sort of jingle and put it with my mom. Just say, Mom, I want you to count to three in your head. Don't say it out loud. And then say, Ask Betty. Okay, go.
Ask Betty.
There you go. Now take that right there and put that to music, and that's going to be Mom's jingle from now on. Okay. I hope somebody does that. This would be a fun segment.
I do, too.
You know, I feel like I could ask you anything. Well, we asked the internets. We went on Facebook. We went on Instagram. Where else we go? Twitter. I believe that's all I did. So a lot of people got back to us. I put your picture up. Did you see that picture I put?
I did.
What's that from? Do you remember that?
The church directory.
Yeah, but what year do you think that would have been? Just give me a guess.
Probably 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. About 10 years ago.
Yes.
And so a lot of people are asking questions about me. I don't want this to be about me or even you so much. I want to make it like a Dear Abby thing. I want to make it about other people. We want to help solve problems.
Oh, you know what boy. I'm saying? Oh, yes.
So, or it could be about us. Who knows? But lots of people asked us questions. And the one that we decided to choose at random happened to be on my Instagram page. And this one, because we chose this one because it's about someone else. So this person, can you read their name and then read the question, Mom?
Okay, this comes from Cheerios. And it says, my two adult sons, 20 and 18 years old, still live at home. They both work full time now. Should I let them build a nest egg for a while? Any advice?
Now, I'm confused by the question right away.
I think they're saying, should they pay rent and groceries and you put it in a little savings account until they're ready to put a down payment or the first month rent on an apartment for themselves?
Right. So basically she's saying, should I let them stay with me for free and let them save money? That way they're not paying rent somewhere else or they're not having to buy their own groceries. They're just staying at home for free. Let them save money. Either they're doing it or she's doing it for them. Either way, it's a nest egg, right?
Yes.
So, or should she give them some tough love and kick them out of the house and go get a job, earn it? What do you think, Mama?
I think since they're both working full time.
Is that what she said?
Yes, they're both working.
Okay. Okay.
They should both pay some rent and some grocery money.
There you go.
And Mom and Dad will put it in a savings account in their names. And at the end of so many years, no, not years, at the end of a year or two,
right?
They can take the money that they have put in their savings account and put a down payment on first month's rent and an apartment or to help with other things. But yes, I think that they should pay something.
Right. For their own future.
For their own
future. By the
way,
they're not paying. They're giving themselves future money.
That's right.
It's not even like they're paying. Because really, they're paying themselves.
Yes,
right?
If it's
according to what you just said.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I like that. Danny is shaking his head. We have a guest in here as well. We're going to get to that in a minute. So there you go, folks. Sage advice from one Betty Reap, who's been around. She's been around. You know, she knows things. She let me stay in this house for free. I'm doing it now. I mean, I did take over the DirecTV bill. Does that
right.
count as me
that
putting something in a nest egg?
That counts.
I've already got my own nest egg. I just need just to sit in your nest for a minute.
Well, maybe
that's
you could,
what I'm doing.
Maybe you could buy some coffee or groceries or something every once in a while.
I could do that. Sure. I bought some chocolates today.
Yeah, but I have to hide them from Daddy.
Yeah. See, that's a problem. I've been trying to get healthy. And, you know, I love coming home because Mom's got the best cooking here. We talked about your chicken pan pie last episode, and there's all kinds of nice sweets around the house.
Yes.
And my problem is, and Dad's has this problem too, if it's there, it's gone.
That's right. I mean, if he opens up a bag of cookies,
yeah.
it
gone.
Terrorizes him until he eats every last cookie in the bag before he goes to bed.
That's where I get it from.
Or I have to hide them.
Yes. So what I did today, because I know now that I'm in this house with him and you, is that we have to trick ourselves.
Right.
And not only that, I also went to, I got like the Atkins chocolate stuff. So that way, if we're going to have a moment of weakness, at least it's not the worst
right.
as it could have been.
And we should just have one.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe two a day, and that's it. Not five, six, or seven, or a whole box.
Right. Portion control. Right?
Right.
Portion control. And the great thing about these Atkins things is they're individually wrapped.
Right.
Like each peanut butter cup is in its own wrapper.
Right.
Instead of opening a big bag and they're ready to go, you have to actually do a little work
yes.
to get to each one.
Yes. You know.
So that's burning calories right away.
And right. Halloween's coming up. And
oh, no.
I keep looking at these bags down at Sam's, and I'm thinking, I can't get those right now because Dad'll eat every single one of them
yep.
before Halloween. So I'm either going to have to get those and hide them somewhere.
Yeah. I've not been here for Halloween in a long time. Do people still come up to the front door?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
We used to have hundreds.
Is this
hundreds.
Still a good neighborhood for that?
We used to have hundreds, but now it's down to maybe a 50 to 150. But
okay.
They used to truck them in.
Yeah. Well, I'll be here this time, so maybe I can hand out some Atkins candy to all the
no,
children.
No, that's too expensive.
It is expensive.
It is.
Oh, they're getting the cheap stuff from the 99-cent store is what they're getting.
Well, I get good stuff.
No, I'm telling you, if I'm buying it.
Oh. I buy.
Oh, okay.
Hershey's, the miniature Hershey's.
Yeah, miniature Hershey's. I've had them before, yes.
Milk Duds. Mm-hmm. Snickers, Milky Way, all the chocolate stuff.
Right.
I don't like Starburst, Burst, and
stuff that sticks to your teeth.
Yeah, and those really sour candy stuff. So,
do you like candy corn?
No.
What?
I mean, I'll eat it.
You don't like candy corn?
I
there are
like
a lot
it.
Of people who don't like it. Yeah. I can't get over this. That's one of my favorite candies.
Well, I'll eat it. I like a bit of honey.
Yeah. Again, that sticks to your teeth. I don't like it because it sticks to your teeth. I do like it that way. Look, we're getting off track, Mom.
Yes, we are.
Let's save this for a Halloween episode.
Okay.
We put a pin in that one.
All right.
And we'll come back to that another time. And meanwhile, we have a guest who's been sitting here very patiently quiet, sitting across the desk from Mom. So, Mom, why don't you introduce our guest and then just hand you the microphone? Or do you want me to do it?
Well, I can start it, and then
there you go. Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, sitting across from me is David Neely.
Danny.
That's not Danny.
It's Danny.
Oh, my gosh, you've gotten so much bigger than...
Both of them are, like, very tall now.
Okay,
so you got David,
Danny.
And you got Danny. This is the younger
this
one.
This is the younger one,
easy
wow.
mistake happens to me all the time. I get called Jason a lot, and then both of you all are tall with blonde hair. So that's right. So, Mom, hand the mic over to Danny Neelan now.
Danny is the one that pretended to be to get knocked out.
Yes.
One
yes.
time when they were being uh-huh. ninjas.
Yes.
And Jonathan got beat up. So here's
well, we both got beat up. But this is the very guy.
Here's Danny Neelan.
All right. Wait a second. Well, hang on. I think I have an applause break in here I can do.
Thank
I just
you,
got
Mrs.
this
Reed.
New I just got this new app and I want to use it. It's called Sound Effects. So hang on one second. Here wait, where'd it go? Soundboard. Here we go. All right. So Mom, do one more time. Just say, ladies and gentlemen, Danny Neelan.
Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Neelan.
Hey! All right. Okay, calm down.
Thank you, Mr.
Calm. There you go. All right, Danny, now here's the thing with this microphone. We got to put it right on that chin. Thanks, Mama.
You're welcome.
You did excellent.
Thank you.
That's when's the last time you saw my mom, Danny?
Well, it was at one of your comedy skits about a couple months ago. Oh. Wayno's. Oh. In March.
That's right.
I think it was in March.
Yeah, well, she came to Wayno's. Yeah, but before that, though, I mean, me and you have known each other since. Good Lord. I want to say, what grade were you in? Because you're a little younger. How much younger are you?
2 years.
I'm 46.
Yeah, I'm 44. So mm-hmm. 2 years.
2 years. Now, when you're in the eighth grade, 2 years is a long time. Don't you think?
That is a long time.
Because if you're in the seventh grade, then that means someone 2 years is in the fifth grade, which is an eternity in those years.
Yeah, I don't think we would hang out all the time, like in the fifth grade, third grade, maybe a little bit after that. But then I didn't see you again until I ran into you in college one time at a Jimmy Buffett concert.
That's right. That's right. Well, let's go back. Let's start from the how we met, I think. I met you through your brother, David Neeland, is my mother.
Yeah, who's your age?
Probably calls him Danny. Yeah. David's my age. So I was going to Blackburn Middle School. I think I would have been in the sixth grade. Yeah, because that's sixth, seventh, and eighth middle school was.
Right.
And so I was in the sixth or seventh, and everyone was talking about this new kid named David Neyland who came to school. And they're like, oh, he's really cool, and he can break dance. He's like a good break dancer. And I was like, wait a second, that's what I do. We can't have two break dancers who also happen to be charming and good looking. I mean, Chris McClain excluded, and Bruce McNeely and Eric Trivett. No, but I remember someone talking about David, and I hadn't met him yet. And then I met him, and I was like, oh, this dude's pretty cool. Had cool shoes as well. That's what we did. We looked at your face, shook your hand, talked to you, and then looked right down at your feet. What kind of shoes is this guy wearing? But that's the first time I remember hearing about the Neylands at all. Is like you got. When did you move to Hickory? Do you remember?
We moved to Hickory. I think I was like about 3 years old. So
you were three.
Yeah,
but you were going to like a different elementary school.
Yeah, we were downtown Hickory.
Yeah.
For a while. And then about a little over 30 years ago when I was about, so I was 9 or 10, I guess, is when we moved out to Mountain View.
Okay.
My parents built the house out there on the property.
Right. I remember the infamous property. Lots of square footage. Good for young teenage kids to be ninjas on that property.
Yes, exactly. But I do remember the shoes that David wore when he went out to Blackburn. They were those checkerboard.
Yes.
Shoes.
Yeah.
With the flat bottom.
For breakdancing. With the fat, thick shoe strings.
Yeah.
That you would somehow lace so they went straight across. Like they were parallel. They didn't crisscross. They were all parallel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you could go to like the mall, pick out whatever color you wanted.
Uh-huh.
And the thicker ones were the better ones.
Thicker ones, the better ones. And I think maybe even later people started mixing up, like one shoe was black and white checker, another one was like red and white checker. Yeah. Like they mixed it up.
Yeah.
Crazy rule breakers. Yeah. They were before their time. But I remember all of that. You went to, what was the name of your elementary school?
It was, we went to St. Stephen's.
St. Stephen's Elementary.
Yep.
Then did you go to Blackburn?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, okay.
I did. Then we moved out here. Then I went to Blackburn.
Blackburn Middle School.
Right.
Right.
Went there, and then David and I went to Hickory High after that.
That's right. So I only got to really hang with you guys during the middle school years. We're talking sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade.
Yep.
And then we didn't part ways, but I went to a different school. You guys went to a different school. Remained friends, but just those 3 years of middle school was like I spent the night at your house all the time. Had lots of good times. I remember, your dad was a doctor.
Yep.
Okay, so I also remember this. Years later, I'm going to go fast forward and I'm going to come back. But I remember years later, high school football. And I guess I was a freshman or a sophomore. And they were getting, it's like, okay, everybody's got to get a physical. Everybody's getting a physical. And the doctor's going to be Mr. Dr. Neyland. And all I could think of is like, oh, I don't want Danny's dad touching my balls.
Oh,
because that's part of
he'd wear a glove.
You got
a
cough still, but it's like I've already hung out over there. Like I know I'd rather be a stranger. So I was like, oh, Mom, can we go somewhere else? So I remember like not doing that just because of that reason.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it would have been fine. But it's just as you, when you're a teenager, that's just weird. Like your friend's dad touching your balls.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
I guess it could be.
So unfortunately, I had already met you, so it couldn't be your dad. But all right, let's go back in time. Let's talk about Blackburn. What's some of your fondest memories? We're going to get to the Easter ass whipping story. Don't worry. Good. We're going to build to that.
Nice.
That's legendary. That's one of my favorite stories to tell now, by the way. And people love it. Well, it's grown. I act things out now. And we'll get to your recollection.
Not too much, though.
We'll get to your recollection of that. Because everyone has their own memories, you know, because time passes. Maybe your memory is different than mine. So I want to know exactly what you remember from that in a second. But let's go breakdancing days. What do you remember about the cosmic force?
Man, I mean, I remember we all had the same jumpsuits, sweatsuits, what I call it today. They were gray, said cosmic force across the front.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to have our name down.
Right.
Nickname. Down the side of the pants and the shirt.
Oh, we had code names on the back too. Well, maybe that was before cosmic force. But, yes, your name had to run down the side of your leg or down the side of your sleeve on your shirt.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I remember, but you and David, I think, were mainly like the leader of the cosmic force.
Yes.
And Eric.
Uh-huh. Eric and Trivett.
Then, yep.
Bruce McNeely.
Right.
Yeah. You, my brother. That's five. That's the main five.
Jason and I think we were kind of adopted in. Yeah. It's like
you guys are already
parents got involved and said, you guys have to let them in or there is no more cosmic force.
It, that may have happened. Also could have been like, they're already here in the room and we need someone else to just stand there and clap while we're doing stuff. You know, just basic moves.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was the main five. That would have been your original menudo of the cosmic force, the main five. And then I think people come and go from there. Like maybe a Chris McClain was involved. Maybe maybe another person came and went. Did we say Eric Trivett? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's your main five. We would meet over sometime, mostly your place, because you guys had an amazing house. This big property in Mountain View. We're talking two stories. You guys basically had your own apartment downstairs, which at that age is amazing. You guys had your own bedrooms, your own living room, your own little kitchen, little bar area thing that they made for you guys. Not that it made, but like there wasn't booze back there, but it was like they had a fridge and stuff down there. Yeah. Right?
It's still the same.
Still the same? Yeah. And you have that one area that's a rec room.
It's still there, yeah. Still the same. You come out there, basically it was like the breakdancing ninja dojo.
Yeah. That's right, man. Which is why, to this day, one of my favorite movies of all time, definitely from that era, is The Last Dragon. The Last Dragon, this dude was Kung Fu Master, but there was also some breakdancing involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am the master.
I am! Show enough! I got my mom a t-shirt that says Show Nuff from that guy, the bad guy from that movie. She wears it to this day.
Really?
Yeah. Has no idea. She has no idea what it's about, but it just looks cool. So, that was amazing going to y'all's house, spending the night, you know, because it's like we had our own place, you know, and your mom, dad, very cool parents, come down every now and then check on you. And then, you know, unless we're making ruckus down there, they'd just leave you alone.
When we did, they would leave us alone pretty much.
Just alone. We'd be down there breakdancing in that rec room and practicing karate.
The breakdancing board. Remember that thing? It was like an 8x10.
Cardboard?
Yeah, it was basically cardboard, but it was like a specialty breakdancing cardboard board.
Is it something that we bought or that y'all bought or that we made?
No, it was something I think we bought it. It was like an official like breakdancing board.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
It fold up.
Did it come with a poster that you could put on the wall of how different? Was it that dude, the kid from, what's the black guy? The Carlton from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. There was a moment where that guy was breakdancing like before he got to be on TV. Like he was in the breakdance. I think that was a kit that you could buy.
I bet it is.
Yeah. We'll have to look that up. So I remember... hanging out down there, spending the night, having great times, breakdancing, practicing Karikido karate, which we both took, me, you, my brother, and David. How far did you get in that Karikido karate?
I didn't get as far as you did. I think I was like yellow belt slash going on to orange belt.
Yeah. Yeah. Karikido, for those of you who don't know, is karate and aikido put together. It's an American style of karate. And our sensei was a guy named Rick Hamby.
Oh, yeah.
Who's also the number one insurance salesman in town. So no one's going to whip your ass and then pay for the bill. But, yeah, we took that class. I got the orange belt.
You're right.
Yeah, and then I had to quit. I remember going up for the green belt, not getting it. Like, got denied. Like, you ain't ready. That pretty much devastated me.
My dad videoed one of those tapings when we were testing to get our belts. I don't know if it was that particular one.
May have been.
But, yeah, I'll have to go check that one out. It was the one where we were doing those moves in front of your opponent.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I was doing it in front of David, doing, like, an upwards elbow, and I accidentally clocked him right in the chin.
Oh, you hit him.
Yeah. that is on video.
Yes. You sent me some clips of that before.
Yeah.
We're going to put that up on the Instagram. So people listening to this, don't worry. You're going to get some pictures from that era. Isn't there a picture of us sitting at your kitchen table in the morning with some ninja stuff on, having breakfast or pizza or something like that you sent out a while back?
That was a long time ago. I think it was actually almost Cosmic Force.
That's Cosmic Force. That's Cosmic before Force karate.
Clothing.
Yeah. So our era is Cosmic Force, then Karikido, and then we had a weird ending to that, and then moved on. And then I didn't see you till Jimmy Buffett.
All right.
But I was closer in age to your brother, so I actually, you know, hung out with your brother quite a bit. But you guys had a pool out back. And I remember you guys had one of the first solar covers, so you could have a heated pool.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
That's right.
That thing is awesome. And it wasn't like, it was basically just what do you call them, the insulation, little snap, the things that you pop.
Right. Just air bubbles.
Just a little air bubble. But those things like magnifying glasses. And then like the water, the sun would hit it and it would, I guess it would just make the water warmer.
Yeah, it would just magnify.
It's just bubble wrap.
Magnify it, right?
It's just bubble wrap. But it worked. Do you remember this? Okay, sometimes we would sneak out at night, you know, because we were ninjas, right?
Right.
And that's the job, is, you know, sneaking out. Me, you, your brother, maybe my brother every now and then. Mostly it was me, you, and David. But you guys, there was another girl that lived not far away that would sometimes we'd meet up. Like, she would come sneak over, or we'd sneak over there. I forgot her name. Are we allowed to say names? Because nothing bad happened.
I remember the first name, Amy.
Yeah, nothing bad happened. Yeah. But I just remember, like, it was that time you're going through puberty, and this girl was cute, and she wanted to hang out with us after hours, after having to sneak out of the house. It was so much fun. Her name was Amy?
Yeah. She lived around the back of the house, back where we would go crawdad hunting.
Yeah.
Back in there.
Is she still, do we keep in touch with her at all?
I don't know.
Do you know anything about her?
No, I do not.
When's the last time you think you saw her or talked to her?
I think it was around college, around there.
Yeah. There. Did she still look okay?
Yeah, yeah. She's very single? Nice. Very nice girl. Yeah, I believe she was single. But yeah.
Look her up. See what she's doing. Hey, I moved back home, Amy.
Remember me?
I'm over here at Old Well South. Okay, so we had good times. We're going to get to the Easter ass whooping story, but then let's fast forward in time. I go to Fred T. Ford. You go to Hickory High. You and Dave go to Hickory High. Then I'm off to CBCC. I'm off to NC State and Raleigh. And you go from Hickory High to where?
I went to Catawba College.
Catawba College. Catawba Not College. Catawba Valley Community mm-hmm. College. Catawba College. It's like a real college. They actually had a football team.
They still do.
Yeah.
Catawba College. Salisbury.
In Salisbury.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the home of a delicious steak. I always say that, but that's not where it's from, is it? Salisbury steak?
No.
I
wouldn't think so. That's more.
I think it's more of a British. Like, King of Salisbury. I don't know. I've often wondered where Salisbury steak came from. Yeah, Salisbury, but not North Carolina.
I don't think so. This is more like Smallsbury.
There's not much there. So you went to Catawba College. Now, what made you go there? Did you get like some sort of scholarship? Why Catawba?
Well, they were, it was private school, and it was kind of like Lenoir Rhine,
right,
in Hickory, but it was out of Hickory.
Right.
So I kind of wanted to venture out a little bit.
You want to get away from the fam,
just
experience
a little bit.
Life a little bit.
Not too far, 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a good distance.
Yeah.
Because 45 minutes is too far for them to just to pop in on a whim.
Yeah.
They'd have to plan that trip.
Yeah.
Like 40, well, let's go see, we got to do this first. You can't just pop in on a 45-minute drive.
You know,
They really have to plan that one. So
yeah,
that's a perfect distance.
Yeah, easy,
but you're still close.
Yeah, easy to get home to do laundry.
That's right. And have some breakfast at your mom's, with your mom, man.
Yeah.
So, let's go back. Okay, I just thought of something. Do you remember, do you remember that can of fart spray?
I do. We bought it at Spencer's.
Yes, in the Valley Hills Mall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I forgot this. We had a day trip there. Your mom took us. Your mom drove a Volkswagen diesel.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, right. A white one.
A what? Yeah.
The white one. We would drive from here, and it used to be a dirt road between here and Valley Hills Mall. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I do remember that. I guess for whatever reason, we took a day trip to the mall, had your mom. It was a Saturday. I was spending the night, me, you, and your brother. And we love going to Spencer Gifts. I mean, when you're that age, Spencer, that place is that's like heaven.
Yeah,
so that get all the posters with the hot chicks on it.
Right.
You got random sexual toys you could throw at each other and make the other guy catch it.
Right, right. I remember those glasses that you could have if you put water in them, the girls would lose like some of their clothing.
Right. So or a cigarette lighter with that on it, kinds of like stuff. But there's a can of the snapping pops that you could throw at people's feet and they would pop, like explode.
Yeah.
You know? They had a can of fart spray.
Of course.
And I can remember that this smell to this day. I don't even know what that is. Like, what smell do you, how do you generate that? What do you think that is? It can't be real farts, but like, what's like, the chemicals in that thing?
I don't, it tasted, or not
tasted. No, it was smelled, that bad. You could kind of taste it.
It smelled like rotten eggs times 20, right?
Yeah. I guess we got a can of that, and we'd be in the mall, and we'd be in the elevator, right? And before someone would get on, we'd just unload the can almost, and then like wait for someone, and we would bear it just so we could wait for someone else to get on and see their faces, because it was a glass elevator,
yeah.
So you could see people. We would get off, and we'd watch them get on, and go, who did, and we'd just laugh. But the part I'm thinking of is what we did on the way back to your house with that fart spray.
Yep. And a little bit goes a long way, right?
Mm-hmm.
You barely would squirt that.
You just barely touched that thing, and your mom almost puked. I think she had to pull over.
She did. I remember that. We had it in the back seat, right? And we just barely did a little spray, and she actually thought it was real, I think, right?
So. Yeah, I think she probably thought one of us pooped our pants. And then I was like, oh, gosh, I have to clean this up now. But I remember your poor mother making like a gags reflex. Like, I was like, oh, man, that's some serious stuff. Okay, sorry, I got sidetracked because I remember that.
I remember that very good. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so now we're at Catawba College. Well, so we went there because it was private and it was close by. Did you know what you're going to do, what kind of major you're going to be, or what did you do?
I didn't know. I majored in communication and some psychology.
Yeah.
And actually, throughout the whole time I was at Catawba, I actually worked in a funeral home.
Oh, no kidding.
The whole time. Yeah.
Where? In Catawba?
At Catawba. There was a local funeral home there. I worked part-time.
What did you
off
do?
Off hours. I would help out with removals to services.
Oh my gosh.
To
you had to move dead bodies, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a good side
job. Did you know this? My ex-wife, that's what her parents did?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
My ex-wife's parents were funeral directors. They had two funeral homes in Jefferson City, Missouri. That's a good business. People's always dying.
Yeah.
It's not like there's the downtime.
It didn't stop.
No. They haven't cured death yet.
No.
So that keeps happening. So that's a good business. But, this dude, their house also like had a basement, and sometimes they would do embalming down there. So at any given moment, you're hanging out in this house, there's like a dead body down there. It was still kind of weird. But she was an iron tissue harvester. Do you know what that is?
I do.
Did you do any of that at all?
They would come in every once in a while.
So you met those people?
Yes. Saw a few.
Can you tell my audience what an ion tissue harvester is for the people who don't know? I know.
Well, it's basically like you're donating your eyes and the tissue,
right,
so they can remodify them to help others.
Sure. Right? So if you're a donor on your driver's license,
yep,
and right, you're making a donation to other people. She's the person who would show up to take your donation, whether it be eyeballs, blood vessels, bones, tissues. She specialized in eyeballs, which was always a little. I had to be careful. Go to bed at night and put goggles on just in case.
Yeah.
But
nice.
But no, so you were removing bodies there, huh? A little side job.
Yeah, I did that all the way through college.
Wow.
And then
any scary moments there? Anything
quite a
creepy?
Few. Yeah, quite a few. Well, we used to, like you were mentioning, they always had to have somebody stay there. So occasionally, like if the guy who wouldn't sleep there, you know, I might have to fill in for that guy. So
stay
that
at their funeral home.
Yeah.
So you're there by yourself overnight sometimes.
Correct.
No.
Just making sure that all's okay and nothing's moving around.
Oh, my gosh. That would scare the crap out of me. I couldn't stand that. Well, did you have music playing or a TV? Because I would have to have some sort of noise going on.
Oh, yeah.
On.
Yeah. There was a TV, locked doors. But, yeah, it was an experience.
You ever hear anything crazy? Oh, hang on. Let me decline that. Sorry, folks. That was Mark Hunt calling. We're going to get with him in a second. So any noises? Any ghosts?
I thought I heard a few things, but, you know,
yeah,
I kind of grinned and bared that one.
All right. So we're in Catawba. I was a communication major. Right. Yeah. I think that's kind of what people do if they're not sure what they want to do.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Because it's like, you know why I picked it? Honestly, this is why I picked communication. I barely got into NC State. Like, I barely got in. I did CVCC for 2 years. That's Catawba Valley Community College, not Catawba College. We're talking community college. Did that, took like basic transfer courses, thought I would transfer to another school. Turns out they don't take C's or D's. You got to have C's and up, no D's allowed. So I'm like, well, crap. And then Booger, Mike Hauser, told me there's a program you can do where you can take two classes and a PE at NC State. And if you do good, they might let you in as a full-time student. So I went there just to try to get in.
Wow.
And then luckily, after two semesters of that, got in. And then I had to pick a major. And I was thinking, wow, that was hard just getting in. Mm-hmm. And that's just two classes and a PE. That was hard for me. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to pick? I can't pick something hard. I'll never graduate. So I thought, well, let me pick something easy. That's my whole training. Let me pick something easy. And I go, well, what are the athletes taking? They're pretty stupid. For the most, no, I played football. We're all, not all of us were the quarterback, you know. So I'm like, what are they doing? And a lot of them were doing communication. I go, well, hell, if they can do it, I can do it. So I chose it because I thought it'd be easy.
Yeah.
And then ended up doing theater and all that kind of stuff. So I got lucky there. Is there a reason why you picked?
No, pretty much kind of the same reason. I think I started off in like pre-med, trying to figure out if I follow like my dad's footsteps.
Yeah.
So immediately took a right-hand turn to, you know, where everybody goes, communication.
Communication. Yeah. I'm a good listener. So you did communication.
Yeah.
And then you, so how long were you at Catawba?
4 years.
4 years.
Yep.
Graduated with a BA in communication.
I did.
My man. I got the same one.
Nice.
Look at us.
All right. Look
we
at
should
us
start our own communication department. where we just communicate with people. We're kind of doing that now. We are using our degrees right now because we are communicating on a podcast.
I knew it would come in handy one
full
day.
Full circle, man. okay. And then now here's what's great about one of the many things that's great about Danny Nealon. You come over here bearing gifts. Like, you didn't come over here empty-handed. You come over here with a camouflage panther hat, which I happen to have one very similar. Ball of water and these coupons that my mama's going to love. And I'm going to love them. So tell us what you do now and how'd you get into that field?
Well, after college, started working for a beer company for a few years.
Oh, that's good.
So that was a lot of fun.
Oh, boy. And what beer?
It was with Miller Beer.
Okay. Miller Lite, one of the best.
That's
one of the
right.
best light beers there is, Miller Lite. Go ahead.
Yeah, I worked for them for a few years and then from there I moved over and started selling toilet paper.
Boom!
Paper towels.
Hey,
it's just
let me tell you
exciting.
Something. Again, full circle. Beer, what are you going to do a lot? You're going to spill things.
Yeah.
Paper towel right there. That's full circle. That's hand in hand.
That's right. Look beer at and chicken wings, and then what are you going to use?
Right. Somehow you got to get in the plumbing business.
Maybe that's next.
So he comes up with a bunch of free coupons for paper towels, which is going to come in handy because I'm a very messy person. All right. Danny, we're trucking along here. I think everyone wants to hear the story. What do you remember? Now, this is I'm taping, because this is an audio thing. A new comedy album in Charlotte coming up September 29th. You'll be there.
I will be there. In the
crowd. Danny will be there. You'll hear his specific laugh. He has a secret laugh that only you will know if you hear this podcast and also hear the album later. I'll be in Charlotte doing that, and I'm filming a new this. What's going to be in this special is this new story, which I've been. So, if you know me from anything other than seeing me live lately, then you don't know this story. This is a new story that I've been telling recently on the road, but it's not on tape anywhere. It's not on a DVD. It's not on a CD. But it will be coming up this Saturday. And one of my favorite stories includes a young Danny Neeland and a young John Reap going through our ninja phase. And I don't want to tell the whole story. I want you to tell me what you remember from it, okay? Because when you're that age, I mean, you know, memories can, you know, there's good different ways. You have your memory. I have my memory. So I'm wondering if it's close enough.
Okay.
You know, so tell me what you remember about this.
So I remember, I think we snuck out, like you were saying earlier, snuck out of the house and during Easter time, of course.
Yes.
And our missions were to find all the inflatable bunnies in the neighborhood across the street from my house.
That's right. And we were dressed in our full ninja gear, I believe.
From head to toe, right?
Was it also your brother was there? I want to say maybe.
No.
Was it just us?
It was just us. I don't know where David was, though, during that. Maybe he was sleeping or something because it was late. It felt like it was late.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But I remember it was us two, ninja gear, head to toe, faces covered, all in black.
Right. We had great outfits.
Yeah.
Got them from the Ninja magazine in the back. Like that's where I got mine. In fact, you found the hood not long ago.
Right.
And gave it to me. It is here, but it's still in that trailer. I didn't want to dig it out. But I've got the hood, exact hood that I wore that night.
Yep.
Please continue.
You had the hood. I had like the.
I'm talking about as a mask.
Yeah.
But it was one. It's like a toboggan or whatever you had. Just, right. You know.
I had the hood and then the wraparound.
Yes.
The wraparound, the face.
Which was the cooler one, dude. That was cool, but it wasn't very efficient.
Right.
Because it would fall off.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. It was tough to run, and it probably fell down during this night.
Yes. Yes.
But I remember going across the street down my parents' driveway, and we saw one of the inflatable bunnies,
mm-hmm.
and it was underneath one of those street lights. So it was kind of lit up pretty well in front of the house.
Correct. So far we're on the same page. Yes. Yep.
And I remember you and I were hiding just a little bit off that light.
Yep.
But we could see
in the shadows.
Right. We were.
You couldn't
quiet.
See us.
No one could see us. We were probably going from shadow to shadow.
I'm sure we were. Yeah, and just staring at this one inflatable bunny rabbit in someone's front yard under the streetlight.
It was basically, it felt like it was lit up pretty well.
Yeah.
But inside, right, you could see the door was open, but it was like one of those storm doors where it was clear all the way through. And you could see
family. Just watching
multiple
TV with all the
people
lights
in there
on.
Watching TV.
Yes.
Right?
Okay, good. I'm so happy you remember that part.
Yep. And then I remember we plotted how we were going to take that bunny and run.
Yes.
And I think you were kind of trying to talk
out of it.
Right.
Okay.
But
chime in here. All right. This is what I remember. And so far, we're almost 100% same memory. We had already, up until this point, got a couple of bunnies. Ones that weren't lit well. Ones that were in front yards that didn't have the lights on.
Yeah.
Easy prey.
Right.
We were just snatching those. We were just taking them.
Yeah.
Not even using ninja skills.
I think we stole
just walking up, maybe throwing stars at them and stuff. I don't exactly remember what we did, but I remember that we had maybe two or three, right? Then, as far as I was concerned, mission accomplished. We're done. Let's go back in, count our bunnies, and laugh at each other about how great ninjas we are. And then I remember we're hiding in the shadows, and then there you go, you see that one bunny. Well lit. It's almost right. like it was a trap. Like someone did that on purpose. Like it was like a spotlight was on it. Like it was shining. And I remember like you going like, oh, dude, we forgot one right there. I said, Daddy, no. It's too lit. I can see the family. They're right there. Do not take that one, Danny. And before I'm trying to talk you out of it. I remember you just running across the street laughing. Like, nope. This one's going down, too. All right. Do you remember that part?
Yeah, I do. But it was like the bunny of all bunnies. But but it felt like I remember running across to get it, and I felt like if I did it fast enough,
yes.
they wouldn't see me.
You're right. Or could catch you.
Or hear me.
Or hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing. They didn't. You got away with it because right. that family is not the family that caught up with us later. Maybe it could have been someone from that family, but it wasn't those same people inside of there. Maybe a phone call was made. I don't know. But I remember you getting away with it and running across the street laughing with this deflated bunny now in your hands. And then I remember like going back in the woods for a second, and because I was like, kind of like mad. Like, what are you doing? Why'd you do that? They were sitting right there, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, it's fine. Look, no one sees. There's no one moving. There's no one out here. And then we were done.
We took it back.
Then is when the shit hit the fan.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
This is exactly right. Okay. I remember like we took the bunny back, and I think this one was still inflated. So we kept it inflated. Right. But we took it back to our property, which is down by the main road.
Right. And we're in like the front yard of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were hiding like the bunny like behind the trees by the road.
Right.
Right? And then I remember... So what I remember next is like we did see some folks running down the hill from that main road.
Towards us. Yeah, like four or five people.
Yeah, and you made a big announcement.
I did. I thought it was Eric Trivett. Also ninja, not really so much with us, but in his own right, he was like a lone ninja, I think. You know, he like an army guy. He's like had camouflage. You know, but I thought, you know, he would be up for these shenanigans. And, he's an ex-Cosmic Force member.
Yep.
I thought it was Eric who lived in that neighborhood. So I think I yelled, hey, Eric, look at this bunny that we just stole or something.
That's what I remember, pretty much.
And then can you take it from here?
Yeah. So my folks had basically like the wooden fence that has like the three rails that you would have to climb over to get to where we were.
Right. We were standing on the other side of that fence.
Right. So I remember we saw four people, and I think we realized that wasn't Eric. Right. But what we saw was all I remember was there was a guy in the front.
Yeah, leading the charge.
Leading the charge. He's probably like, I don't know, he felt old, but right, probably like 18 to 20 maybe. White hair, completely white, mullet.
Yeah.
Someone who's going to kill us.
Yeah. What would you, who could we say this guy look like? Like, who could we compare this guy to that people would know? Like, I want to say like Brian Bosworth, ex-linebacker for Oklahoma and the Seattle Seahawks. Think of Brian Bosworth with that hair. It was sort of cut on the sides, but blonde and long in the front, in the back especially. The kind of guy that would have a cutoff shirt and sleeveless shirt, but it's real tight.
Right.
With a Trans Am on it.
Yeah. And I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with
you. So we saw this guy, right?
Yeah. So basically he makes it to the fence, I think, first, and the other guys are behind him.
Right.
So he climbs that three rail fence, gets to the top. I think he basically stood at the top like a wrestler would.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he pretty much sumoed and flew on top of me first.
Yeah. And you were the closest.
Down. Yeah. So he knocked me down, and what he did, I hit the ground.
Yeah.
He picks me up really, really quick
and
throws me right back into that fence head first.
Right.
Right.
And then that's where you were done.
That's where I was done. But I will tell you part of that story. So I watched a lot of WWF in my day.
Sure. Right? Yeah.
So,
and this felt like very much like that.
Right.
The guy was on the turnbuckle.
Yeah. So you know when they throw them into the ropes.
Right. Right.
You kind of see the guy's head buckle back real quick.
Yeah.
So I kind of had that motion as I hit
right.
the fence.
Yeah. It hit. So your head snapped back.
My head snapped back.
Yeah.
But I may have over exaggerated.
Did you get knocked out?
A little bit.
Do you think you were knocked out? I don't remember.
I think I was.
I mean, I didn't briefly. Have time to check yeah. on you.
Right. I think I was briefly, but I do remember
yeah.
being under that bush
uh-huh.
and being awake.
And just like, well, let's ride this out. Okay. Okay.
But I remember getting pulled and pushed a little bit of times under that
yeah.
that bush.
So. Okay. So you immediately are thrown up against the fence, unconscious briefly. Then now that you're laying there, now yeah. all focus is on the guy still standing, the other ninja. Who is begging for his life at this point. I basically said, please don't hurt me. I've seen what you did to Danny. I don't want any part of that. We're just kids. You know, and in the story you'll see on the special, I pretty much say the truth, which is they're around me. They formed like a little circle. And the one dude, the young guy, is just punching away, beating the crap out of me. And I'm in shock. I'm thinking, well, this will be over in a minute. And, you know. He'll get it out of the system, then we can go home, and this will all be over with. You know, I was just begging for my life. He tries to try to snap my neck. He put me in a headlock. I was trying to break my neck. And I think I dropped to one knee, and I just hit him as hard as I could in the balls, and he kind of let go, and I ran for my life. I left you laying there in the dark, and I went and hid behind the house, and I came back looking for you, and then that's when I saw you. Then you were fine. I think you – I mean, you were at this point, yeah. you were upright walking back towards the house. We met up, am I right? Does any of this tell me? Correct me if I'm wrong about any of this.
No. I mean, okay. I remember when you were getting, I guess, hit upon or beat up a little bit.
Yeah,
I remember you
killed.
Talking real fast.
Yeah.
And trying to explain what was going on. But after it was all over, I think those guys they did come back, and I think they kind of checked me a little bit to see if I was alive
oh,
or not.
Oh crap!
So I kind of think they thought that they actually you know
killed you. Really?
Had a homicide scene.
Oh, wow.
And they may have fled the scene thinking like, hey,
oh.
we better get out of here. Right?
Oh, see, I didn't know this. That's a great, dude, that's pretty smart, though. Like, I mean, I don't know if you did on purpose, but think about that. These guys potentially just killed a young kid. Right. They're not going to keep beating you up. They're going to get the hell out. They left.
Yeah.
And I think the next day we went back and we found a pocket knife.
They did. They had there was a knife there. They left the murder weapon behind.
Well, I bet one of them tried to go for the knife and it slipped out of their pocket and they couldn't find it in the dark. But we found a potential murder weapon the next day that they fortunately didn't get to in time.
Yeah.
But yes. I remember walking back down to check on you and there you were and I said, "Are you okay?" I said, "What happened?" And he said, "I was just faking it." But you probably did get knocked out. Right?
You know, I don't know if I was totally knocked out, John.
I'm trying
because
to make
I
you look good.
I remember you getting hit up a little bit, yeah. but I think I was knocked out for a little bit.
That was scary, dude.
Scary, but funny after.
Funny now. Yeah. Well, you know, comedy is tragedy plus time. And that was very tragic at the time, for sure. And it kind of like put a salty taste in my mouth about karate and ninjas and everything. Like, I was kind of like... After that, I was already an orange belt at that point, and I didn't get the green, and I'm like, maybe this ain't my thing.
Yeah,
maybe
I don't remember anything after that.
Maybe my thing should be talking about it.
Yeah, I don't remember ninja or karate after that.
No, we were pretty much done. Oh, man. Well, I'm so happy you came over and relived that moment with me.
Anytime. Man.
Yeah,
look
we
forward
do more
to it on
these,
your new
man.
Album.
This is fun. How's your brother doing, David?
He's doing great.
Where is he? Is he in Florida?
He's down in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good
so
deal.
He's down there with his kids.
He came to see me down there once. I think I was in Fort Lauderdale. I think Fort Lauderdale or Hollywood, Florida.
Probably.
Was he there for a minute or close by there?
He lives near there.
Yeah. And he came to see me and we caught up and it was good to see him. He's another guy that's gigantic. How tall are you?
6'6".
6'6". You met Brent Blakeney, who's 6'7".
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Another guy who I had on the podcast not long ago, Sean Setzer, 6'4". I don't know what it is with tall guys and me, but we're all like good friends. I guess it's because I'm afraid I'm going to get beat up again. I want tall guys near me. But how tall is your brother?
He's probably 6'3" or 4".
Oh, so you got a couple inches on him.
I do. I do. You know, I mean, after high school, I think it was about 6'2" when I left high school.
Yeah.
And I grew another 4 inches in college. So.
In college?
In college.
Wow, that's very rare.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know.
To go 4 more inches in college.
Right.
Wow.
Right. I went back to my reunion. They didn't know who the heck I was.
Well, Danny was over here before my parents came home from work, and just now we're talking, and my dad, he's like, he looked startled, and my dad, in his cop outfit, he looked you up and down like, what? I said, that's Danny Neyland, Dad. And he goes, well, I don't remember this Danny Neyland. I remember, and he went down here like he's 4'1". I remember this Danny Neyland. I remember that Danny Neyland, but yeah. So I can imagine people like not remembering or knowing you as a tall guy, right?
That's right. Yep. Much skinnier back then, too. But,
well, we were all a little skinnier back then. So, dude, we got to do more of these. Tell your brother I said hello. I'm sure he'll listen to this.
He will.
Do you think he listens to the podcast?
I do.
I hope so.
I think he...
Well, just in case, he is. What's up, Dave? You're a great breakdancer. Do you remember... We'll leave on this. We'll wrap it up. Do you remember anything about your breakdancing nickname? I think for a minute I was a worm or something. But that may have been before the Cosmic Force. It's all fuzzy because I had... You know, me and my brother, we broke off and did the Breaking Brothers. Like we left the Cosmic Force and did the Breaking Brothers.
I know. And you guys, I remember coming to see you guys during a halftime show just up here at the elementary school.
Yeah.
You guys, you and Jason did the really good...
Good dance routine.
Good dance routine. You did the flip. Remember the flip?
Yeah. Dude, you do remember.
I do.
See, that's a deep cut if you remember the flip. See, not everybody. That's kind of why we let Jason in, because we needed a guy to throw me in the air so I could flip. No, I threw Jason in the air. He was a little acrobat. That's right. So we entered this breakdance contest, and in our as the Breaking Brothers, who had left the Cosmic Force, me and my brother came up with a routine where there was a flip involved, and that's what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
I did the backspin and would stop, and then Jason would run at me and jump basically on me, but then I would catch him and throw him in there, and he would turn a flip and just land it right on the beat.
That's right.
And then I'd be like, oh. Wow,
crowd went nuts.
And we still got beat by cloggers. Remember that?
No.
Stupid cloggers came in there?
No, I don't remember that. I just remember the flip, man.
It came in second to cloggers. Oh, my goodness. Well, Danny, thank you so much. This little trip down memory lane has been amazing. I do appreciate it.
Thank you,
John. Can I get you anything while you're here? You want to try some of Mom's chicken pan pie?
I do.
You want some of these Atkins candies?
No. The pan pie.
Pan pie. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to another amazing episode of The Fried Pod. I'm John Reap. Bicycle. Happy Friday. But wait, there's more. How? Right, Danny?
Yeah, John, aren't you going to tell us about you're coming up on tour pretty soon, right?
Yeah, well, you know me, I'm always on the road, always touring. And if you're ever curious about where is John Reap, well, I've provided a website for everyone, which nobody goes to. No one goes to websites anymore, but I sure would like it if you would. If you go to johnreap.com, there's tour dates right there. But the ones that are coming up, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'm going to be in Charlotte at the Comedy Zone September 27, 28, 29, 5 shows. And on that Saturday, I'm recording a new album. So come be a part of that. Then on the 30th, I will be in Hendersonville. That's close to Asheville. Actually, it's called Flat Rock, North Carolina, at a place called The Artisan. So come see me. Say hey. And then after that, I think it's going to be Syracuse. It's going to be Dayton, Ohio. And then it gets fuzzy after that. So please do that. Also, for this podcast, I don't even know how many people are listening. I'm afraid to ask. It just might be me and Danny over here. So hopefully there's more of you. And if you would like to reassure me and my little insecure self and go, no, John, we're listening, you can hit me up on social media. Again, everything can be found at johnreap.com, everything I'm on. But I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Snapchat. You name it, I'm on it. That's right, Pinterest, Farmers Only, all of it. Go find me on one of those social medias and then hit me up, send me a message or a tweet or whatever and say, yeah, we're listening. And then if you feel so inclined, you know, rate us. Give us a rating, five stars or subscribe or share, all that good stuff. But man, I'm out of breath. Anything else I'm forgetting, Danny?
Doing good, John. Yeah. We look forward to seeing you in Charlotte. I'll be there too.
That's right. Danny, you can meet Danny Nealon, the guy with me during the major Easter ass whipping story.
That's right. I will be joining you on that Saturday night, man.
That's
right. Look forward to it.
Yeah. And I feel like because I'm on this amazing comedy network called All Things Comedy, what I've decided to do is start promoting, doing like it's called a live read. You know, if this were a commercial, they'd call this a live read because I'm going to promote another person's podcast on this podcast who's a part of All Things Comedy. And I've known this guy for a very long time. Steve Byrne has a great podcast. And Danny, why don't you just tell people a little bit about it?
Yeah, this one's awesome. It's right on this network. It's called All Things. It's on All Things Comedy.
Yep.
This Gentleman's Dojo.
The Gentleman's Dojo.
Yeah, with Gary Cannon and Steve Byrne.
Yep.
Comedian Steve Byrne and Gary Cannon welcome you to the Gentleman's Dojo.
So appropriate since we talked about ninja stuff in this episode.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
This one's awesome. So it's the latest episode, 138, Hannah Mae Lee from Pitch Perfect.
Oh, got to check that one out. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. For Danny Nealon, I am John Reap, and we hope that you have an amazing, awesome weekend. Happy Friday, everybody.
And the radio up, I like to see the sunrise. See the love in my woman's eyes. Feel the touch of my precious child. And no mother's love.